the Christ, the cross, and the covenant. That's the three real pillars of Holy Communion. Amen. If Jesus hadn't died upon the cross, our discussions about the cross would be meaningless. Amen. It starts with Jesus. Amen. He's the Alpha. Amen. He's the Omega. Amen. He's the beginning. He's the end of it all. He's the initiator of the faith and our faith. And He's the completer of our faith. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's all about Jesus today. Amen. Every time you do this, remember me dying for you. Yes. That's why we stay in the race. Yes. That's what keeps us running, even when we're tired, distracted, and discouraged. Yes. Amen. It's our focus on Him. Yes. And what He's done for us. Amen. That re-energizes us. You feel it in this song. Now, everybody don't get as excited as they are under peculiar anointing to them while they're singing. And we may not feel what they are feeling, but we should understand why they're feeling what they're feeling. Amen. We should get it and understand that we need the energy of the Holy Spirit. We need the joy of the Lord. We need a return and a reiterating of the joy of our salvation. That's what David prayed for. Amen. He said, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. Take not thy spirit from me. Amen. And he said, renew in me, remind me and renew in me the joy of your salvation. So we're to leave here energized by the joy of the Lord. Most Christians, have you ever looked at yourself to check your hair or anything on Sunday morning? To see if you were presentable? Maybe stand and look. And they checked my shoes out. One time I wore a pair of black shoes. They looked fine, but the soles on the shoes were different. They were a different brand, but they had... And Michael was so quick to point it out. And he was laughing. And chortling. Chortling is a form of laughter. It's deep. Like here. Yeah. And he told my wife, and my wife told somebody beside her, and everybody told everybody. And now when I come in on Sunday morning, I have to pass inspection. Looks me up and down.
Some big shoes there,
brother. Amen. Jimmy's wife looks me up and down, checks my shoes, my coat for dog hair on the back, and look okay. And of course, my wife gives me the once over. He meets me before anybody gets to me, and he starts pulling on my coat and looking around on me, and I'm so glad we have this relationship. I preach the word. I preach it straight, right out of the Bible. I want you to be challenged, because challenge brings change. And God is into changing us progressively more and more like His Son. Oh, by the way, when you're checking out your hair and making sure everything is in place, check your countenance. Check your... Don't put it on, but just pray that God will turn your frown around. Amen. What happens when a frown... What are the emojis? Is that what they are when you got this little round thing? He's got a big old smile. Yeah. Amen. You want to punctuate something with a big smile? We should punctuate our testimony with a big old Jesus grin. Yeah. Hallelujah. Why? Because I know the battle is rough, and I know the times are hard, and I know we're going through things. I don't discount that. I don't discredit that. But the way to get through these things, according to the book of James, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. Now, this is not about the pull to go out and do sinful things alone. Right. Temptation in Scripture involves all of the persecution that you receive from every source of persecution. No temptation has taken us but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who before he asks you for your faithfulness, he wants you to acknowledge, trust in his faithfulness to us. He said, when you're going through this, I'm there for you. In fact, I'm there with you in this temptation and in this trial. It includes trials and tests and persecutions, and of course, the pull of the world to cause our flesh to give in and us to sin. That's part of it, but it's only a part of it. All that we go through and the pressures of life, in this world you shall have tribulation, thelpsis. Promise that most of us don't take to heart. It's promised. So when the trouble comes and the anguish comes and the pressure comes, God is fulfilling a promise through Christ to us. He said, it's coming. You're mine, but you live in a world that the devil influences. And it's going to hate you. And you're going to have trouble down in this fallen world. And your enemies are going to be so close to you, you can't run from them. It'll get so close. You can pray and get through a day. I worked for Tampa Electric, and I went through some heavy trials out on line crews, particularly on Monday morning when they were hungover and they were feeling bad and had to go to work, and took it out on, you know, the employees that were the servant ones. And I was not one of the big shots. I'm one of the servant ones on the crew. Amen. I get through the day. I come home. It's done. But I can deal with that day by day. But when it's in your family, close-knit things that you can't just deny, get away from, then you need a special grace, even beyond being able to be on a job where you're oppressed and depressed. Your enemies shall be they of your own household. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, then the devil goes to work on those that he knows can influence you. And that's even people within your own family circle. I always make a joke out of it and do the Adams family thing. But all, you know, all of our families, they're just people like us. And like we were, some of them are like we were before we came to Christ. And you know how you were before you came to Christ. So we have to pray for them, be patient with them, show the grace and goodness of God to them. One thing my son knew when he chose to backslide, go the other way, he knew his daddy had victory, and he knew his daddy and mama's life was running so much better in terms of happiness and fulfillment and love for one another and peace in our home. We banter back and forth because we've been together for 63 years. And I pick at her sometimes and she picks at me. Amen. And we have a good time. And it's all in fun. But you get right down to it, we're one in Christ. Praise God. And we've had to cling to each other. Have you seen those monkeys? The monkeys that they're sewn together where they're hugged. We're like those monkeys. We're Velcroed. I think we're deeper than Velcro. When the pressure comes, sometimes Velcro can just I think we're sewn together. Amen. Spiritually. And God has been good to take care of us. And if we didn't have each other when all around us kind of, what do? They ostracize you. They criticize you. They look for some flaw in you and say, you call yourself a Christian? Yes, I do. I make no apology for the fact that I'm under construction. You say, Brother Venable, you've been under construction for a long time. You got that right. And he's not through with me yet. And, oh, newsflash. You've been and he's not through with you yet. But here's the good news. He is relentless. Amen. It is God that worketh in you and me, yeah, both to will and do of His good pleasure. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. He's at work in us today. Yes, and the one who is at work, He's a master craftsman. Hallelujah. Yes, he says we are His handiwork. You know what that means? It's up close. It's personal. Handiwork is the work of one's own hands. He said, angels are not going to do this. I'm not sending some other agents to do this out of heaven. I'm going to do this myself in my people. Yes. And He that's begun, yes, a good work in you. Everybody say relentless. Amen. He will perform it. Until the day of Jesus Christ, until He comes for His bride, He's going to be working on us and through us. Praise God. Amen. He's at work today. Yes. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that He's still working on me. Yeah. They tell me when you sand down something as a carpenter, his daddy was a carpenter. He knows about all of that. He grew up with not God, but Jesus, and in his human body. You take the coarse sandpaper first, and then you graduate it down. Some of us have not graduated yet, yeah, to the fine sandpaper, where it's just real easy to put that finish on it. Some of us need the coarse sandpaper still.
Amen.
And sometimes God uses His Word.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been uncomfortable while sitting in one of these services?
Amen.
You're looking for honesty today.
Amen.
Did it make you squirm? Sometimes.
Amen.
Your flesh is taking a whooping, beaten.
Yeah.
Amen. Supposed to crucify it. God's helping you nail it to the cross.
Yeah. Yeah.
It ain't going to go down easy.
No. No.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
It does not go down easy. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus Christ, it starts with self-denial.
Yes, it does. Amen.
And the flesh does not like to be denied.
No. Amen.
If it wants to slap somebody and you don't let it, it's highly upset because I really wanted to give them one of these.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Same way with cake. I was in a sandwich yesterday. Pamela and I shared a sandwich yesterday. We share everything. It's kind of nice. You buy one thing, it feeds both of you, and neither one of you overeat. But I'm ordering this sandwich, and for that meat anyway. Just clarifying. And so underneath in this particular place, underneath this beautiful crystal cake thingy, there is a red velvet cake with about two pieces out of it. They cut it fresh out of the cake. They bring it in every day, so it's fresh. It's not got preservatives in it. It's got that buttercream or cream cheese icing. And I got to have a fist bump over here. I got to know we're in such agreement today. I saw her drooling. Here. All right. Amen. So anyway, you know your pastor. I'm happy in the Lord. And there's a young lady said, "Will there be anything else, sir?" And I'm standing right over looking down into that cake. And I looked at her and I said, "Yes, ma'am. Would you please respectfully say to me, sir, would you kindly step away from the cake?" And she said, "No, you can have all you want." I said, "Oh, man, you're not helping. You're not helping." But we had a good smile. We had a good, joyous exchange. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when she discovers that I'm a child of the King, I was not baptized in pickle juice.
Amen.
Amen. Guys walking down the road in this particular story, I remember this. You don't. There was a day when there was a deposit on Coke bottles, and I would get enough bottles together to get a dollar's worth of gas in a 1954 Pontiac to go pick her up. Where did y'all go on a dollar's worth? We didn't have to go hardly anywhere. Just be together. That's all that was all about. So I would collect bottles. 5 cents a bottle deposit, 20 bottles, you got a buck. I can go pick Pamela up, borrow my dad's big old long Pontiac. Wow. But it was also beer bottles. Beer bottles, particular brands of beer, those beer bottles were refillable back in my day. And so in this story, it makes sense. There's a guy, he drinks a whole lot of beer, and he's going from house to house in the summer when the beer drinkers are at their peak, and he's saying, have you got any old beer bottles that I could have? He's going to sell them for the deposit. He's pushing a little cart, and there's a lady raking her yard. And he said, excuse me, ma'am, have you got any old beer bottles that I could have? She says, do I look like a woman who would drink beer? And he said, excuse me, do you have any old vinegar bottles? The world out there, they don't know what this is all about. And we need to let them know what this is all about. Amen. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness. Amen. It is peace. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Everybody say joy in the Holy Ghost. And when God does a work in us, and I'm not going to get to my whole message, it's about communion time. But when God starts a work in us, he starts with a broken life, a lost soul, someone that is enmity with God under the constant, consistent wrath of God. It dwells on everyone that hasn't come to Christ and been saved. So in the old covenant, there's a pattern. I will give you beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. You can't undo a bunch of things. Life is complicated. We get tangled up in all kinds of things. We can't undo it. Sometimes it's just something that's irreparable in the natural. You can't take ashes and take out of ashes and build something beautiful. There's nothing to work with. Here's the good news. God doesn't need nothing to work with except your permission and your faith in him.
Amen.
You give him permission and put your faith in him, and God will give you and me beauty for ashes.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. And what's the next thing that happens?
The oil of joy for mourning.
The oil of joy for mourning.
Amen.
We look back at our past, the people we've failed, disappointed, hurt, and the we not only let down people because of sin, but we let our God down. We let ourselves down. He said, I'm going to give you the oil of joy for brokenness, this heaviness that's upon you, the shame, the guilt. I'm going to give you the oil of joy to offset that. That's what it means. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not just getting a liver shiver on Sunday morning. Amen?
Amen.
It's something powerful and personal. Yeah. The joy of knowing this communion to help us do it, to know that your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
To know your sins are not only forgiven, they're forgotten.
Yes.
He said, as it is written, saith the Lord, I will cast their sins away from them. How far? Somebody ask me how far. As far as the east is from the west. Somebody ask me how far is that. All right, thank you. How far is the east from the west? There's no end to it. If your sins were dropped in the ocean, there's depths that can be plumbed to the ocean. But when he deals with our sin, there's no bottom. There's no ocean deep enough for what he does with our sin. There's a North Pole. If you go south and stay going south around our globe, you will end up at a pole. If you keep going, you'll end up at another pole. But if you go east and west, there's no pole. You could go forever. Can I use that great prophet Buzz Lightyear? To infinity and beyond. You talk about a oxymoron. Can you say amen? Infinity's forever. He said, and beyond infinity. Somewhere in infinity, God has separated you from your sin. I will remember. I'll never go hunt it, find it, bring it out, and hold it over you. Once it's done, as far as God is concerned, there are people that won't do that for you. And that's on them. But when you're dealing with Him, do not frustrate the grace of God. What is frustrating to grace? When we act like it doesn't exist and we don't appropriate it and apply it in our life. Hallelujah. It's the goodness of God. As it is written, I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west, and I will remember their sin no more. That's why part of this communion service is realizing the blood. We have been sprinkled. That happened in the Old Testament. They're offering all these blood sacrifices, and the blood is puddling on the floor from the lambs that are being offered and the throats that are being cut and the blood. You go in the tabernacle and the smell of death is in there. The cry of that lamb when the throat is cut. And then the blood is puddled on the floor, and they take the blood that's not puddled and they take it in as an offering for the sins of the people. Jesus became our sacrifice lamb. His blood forever sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven. It's there today. It will be there throughout all eternity. That's why we can overcome the enemy, even though we can't present ourselves absolutely stainless, sinless, and perfect before God. We can be presented unto Him, forgiven and cleansed. Hallelujah. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we're just being dishonest? No, that's part of it, but it's a stronger word than that in Scripture. If we say we have no sin, we're being disingenuous. No, we're not. There's a stronger word. We say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we acknowledge sin doesn't reign, but that doesn't mean that we don't stumble sometimes in action, in attitude, in deed. But if any man sin, we've got an advocate with the Father. We've got a great high priest that pleads our case in heaven. And He does it with His own blood and His own scarred body in our behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just. That means He's not just, I'm God, I can just not deal with it and pretend it. No, He has to judge it. And He's justified in forgiving it because He judged our sin in His Son. Punished His Son in our place. And we got more than forgiveness. Amen. Because He took our soil, sin-stained garment, and there's nothing in the world, literally, that can take away those stains except the blood of Jesus. Amen. He took our soil, sin-stained garment and wore it to the cross. He that knew no sin, so it wasn't His sin. It was our sin that was being punished. But He took the punishment, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
That's why Jesus,
yes.
Jesus is the centerpiece of the gospel. He's the centerpiece of communion.
Yes.
Praise
yes.
God.
Yes.
And not only did he do that, but here's what Christians have a problem. We don't have a problem with him taking our sin, but here's the problem. He took his righteous robe. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased.
Yes.
Took it off. And he gave it to those who would believe on him. The apostle Paul said, not having, being found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which comes by keeping the law perfectly. One thing you need to do today is realize this is a new covenant.
Yes.
If you're going to go back under the old, oh, Brother Venable, listen, I don't mean detach the old covenant. A lot of the old covenants pointed in type and foreshadow to the new covenant and to Jesus Christ.
Right.
But no, Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. I just got enough time to read that covenant to you. Because the cross is important. But without the Christ, the cross means nothing.
Amen.
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 That's why Jesus always has the preeminence. By the way, you that are in this race and getting weary, the Bible said, lay aside first the things that are not helping you to run with persistence the race that's set before you.
Yes.
Lay aside every weight, every worrier. I worry, but I have to deal with it. I can't help but worry. Now, somebody's going to tell you you can. And yet I see them on TV when they don't get enough money to meet their obligations on the television. And they say, please help us. They send me a letter, you a letter. We're in a crisis. They must be worried.
Yeah.
They didn't just take it to God and let us alone. Amen.
Right.
No. What time I'm afraid, which is what causes worry, I will trust in thee.
Amen.
That's not as simple as somebody put it. I wish it was. Fear came to the door. I sent faith and knocked. I sent faith to the door. Faith walked up to the door and said, there's nobody there. Wouldn't that be cute? Isn't that cute? No, you have to put your faith in God when fear knocks at the door. Because fear is powerful. Worry, which is supported and fueled by fear. In the Latin, it means when a wolf seizes a sheep by the throat and chokes it to death. And then it can take its time and tear it apart and eat its flesh. You'd think a wolf would be like the weird wolf. I call them weird wolves, werewolves. You know, the old horror movies about that wolf that comes and he grabs somebody by the throat and rips their throat out. Oh, don't you love it? It's not a trick question. I used to live for that.
Yeah.
That was the moment I lived for. That thing turned, look at that man turning. He turned into a wolf. I know just what he's going to do. I've seen this thing before. I know what's going to happen. He's going to get a hold of that girl. You better run, girl. Can you say, man, he's going to kill you? Seriously.
Amen.
And he turns into a wolf, and what's he doing? He grabs her by the throat and he rips her throat out. And I thought, boy, that was good special effect. And we think that's how that worry is just going to rip us. No, worry starts choking. Choking. That's why there's time to put your trust in God. Because worry begins with a chokehold.
Yeah.
Not ripping your throat out. But beginning to get those seeds of fear into all of us.
Yeah.
So the Latin word for worry is the same word that was used when a wolf seizes a sheep by the throat and chokes it to death. He hasn't tore into the throat or the flesh, But he chokes it to death. Now he can take his time and dissect it and eat the parts that he wants. Fear chokes all of the joy out of living. Fear comes and causes us to wring our hands when we should be raising our hands in praise and worship of God. David said, "It comes to me. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't send faith to the door. I send Jesus to the door. Praise God. Thou, O Lord. And I think of Sister Rose every time I think of this scripture. One of her favorite songs based on the truth of the scripture. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory. Here it is. Everybody say a faith lift. It'll lift your face too. You get that for free.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But here's the faith lift. Amen. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. For thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when your head is lifted up instead of bowed down, we are an advertisement to the world of a hope that nothing and no one in the world can give anyone. And we have found it in Christ, but we have to show it to them. They don't get it. The carnal mind is so enmity against God, it cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. It cannot receive the law of God. It is not subject to that law. Neither indeed can be.
Amen.
So we have to show them something because we can't tell them nothing.
Amen.
No. They got eyes that see not, Jesus said. They got ears that hear not. How are you going to talk to somebody, eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear? Say, boy, isn't the grass green today? And a blind person never seen grass? He don't know what green is.
No.
We know what green is. So how are we going to get the gospel to these people? Well, number one, you're not going to do it by yourself. Because Jesus said he was anointed to open the eyes of the blind. Bartimaeus, the pool of Siloam, all these different places where he healed blind people in particular. It was way beyond the physical healing of the blind. That's why the persecution comes in Hebrews 10. After you were illuminated, after he opened your eyes to your lost condition and simultaneously showed you the answer, and that is pointed you to Jesus. And revealed it to you. Flesh and blood, Peter, did not reveal this unto you, but my Father only. The Holy Spirit is at work. When the gospel is preached, the Spirit of God is at work. I can't get those eyes to see it, but God can. God does. He's good at it. It's the work of the Spirit. Bumper stickers are good. Thank God for people advertising Jesus. But a better advertisement is who's driving the car.
Amen.
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 Bumper sticker says Christ is the answer. Person sitting behind the wheel, they look over and see who's at the wheel. Seriously? Christ is the answer? Listen, if you got religion without a relationship, you're a vinegar bottle Christian. And people look at you and say, I don't need that. I don't need that fear. I don't need that worry. I don't need that anxiety. I don't need that attitude. I need some peace. I need some hope. And Christians should be an advertisement to the world of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When we walk out of here, people need to know. People, listen, I can't get over how many people relate when I go in places just because I have hope and it shows. I have peace and they feel it.
God, amen.
I was bivocational. I know what it is to work with a bunch of knotheads and pagans. I parked my car by a Satanist that worked in the job I worked for 10 years. I was bivocational. And it said on there, he had God on there, all right. He said, God, deliver me from your children. He didn't want nobody bothering him, bugging him with the gospel. So I would pull my car. Actually, it was a pickup truck. I live in Plant City. It was mandatory if you're in the city limits. You must have a pickup. No, I was just kidding. But I did. There's a lot of pickup trucks. And my little S10, I would pull in. Wow. What is yours?
Ford
F-150. Ford F-150. Oh, if I'd had a Ford F-150, I'd been too proud. God would have to bring me down. I had a little S10. Tail light went out. My wife, while I was at work on my shift, went and bought the... Oh, I might have bought the tail light. She went and bought the tail light, came to my job, went out in the parking lot, pulled the globe off, got in there and found the tool and fixed my brake light. So when you see us going back and forth, I just want you to know she's a good one. Amen. She's like a pie. You know, you get through the crust, you get down into the good stuff.
Yeah.
Chicken pot pie, turkey pot pie.
Yeah.
I want people to know I have this hope. This hope is genuine. It is real. It is personal because he has given me beauty for ashes. The oil of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's part of your witness to the world.
Amen.
Amen. The joy of the Lord. The oil of gladness for mourning.
Uh-huh.
And the spirit.
The garment of praise.
Oh. Yeah. The garment of praise.
Yeah.
For the spirit of heaviness.
Yeah.
This world is under. It doesn't matter what they do at the club. It doesn't matter what they do on the stage. It doesn't matter what they do on the movie screen. It just doesn't matter. They're putting on a performance. God doesn't want this to be a performance. He wants this to be a genuine, authentic joy and peace that can be seen and sensed as the Holy Spirit opens up those blinded eyes, hallelujah, and those ears begin to become attentive because people begin to want to know. They want to know. So be instant in season, out of season. Be ready to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is in you. Hallelujah. If you really want to help anybody else go to heaven with you, let God give you, He's given you the beauty for ashes. He wants you to have the oil of joy for mourning, the oil of the Spirit, praise God, for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you to praise God when you don't feel like it.
Amen.
Put on the garment of praise. Is there a song about that? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice and say, and sing. Listen to this. Speaking to yourself. Here's how you put on the garment of praise. How you do that? Somebody asked me, how do you do that?
How you do that?
You know you're making me preach longer. You realize that. But I ask you to, so I'll bear the responsibility. Speaking to yourself. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always making melody in your heart to the Lord. When I was going through nervous exhaustion, I rarely slept. I was going through sleep deprivation. Fear became like an entity, a person. Now, this wasn't the spirit of fear. This was my spirit beginning to be overwhelmed by fear. I could rebuke a spirit of fear from the netherworld. Listen carefully. Don't give the devil more credit than he's due.
Amen.
Timothy, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He didn't need deliverance from a spirit from the pit. He needed deliverance from his own spirits, his own spirit being overwhelmed with fear, bringing deep discouragement to him. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, love, power, and a sound mind. And the sound mind is not like sound doctrine, which means pure, unadulterated. No, sound mind in context in the Greek means a disciplined mind. And that means a mind that can be directed. If it's disciplined, you can direct it. That's why the psalmist David said, listen, I'm directing my mind right now. Listen, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, yes, thy comforts delight my soul.
Yes.
That's pretty good stuff. What I'm dwelling on, what I'm focused on, what I'm filling and focusing my mind on, that's why the Apostle Paul said, finally, let me sum it up. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are praiseworthy, whatsoever things are of a good report. Is there something else?
If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise.
If there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Think. And in the actual context, it's only on these things. Because if the devil can't get you to think about all that you're worried about and concerned about, God will show you, hallelujah, how good he is to you, how faithful he is to you, how he's holding you and upholding you with the right hand of his righteousness, saying unto you, fear not. Can you say amen? You have nothing and no one to fear, because I've got your six. That's military and police talk. What? I got your back. I got your six. God's got my six. The devil been trying to take me out since I was in the womb. God had a call on me from the womb. How do you know? Because the devil tried to kill me while I was in the womb. And the doctor told my dad in Middlesboro, Kentucky, the little hospital, somehow I was turned so wrong that if we let this birth occur, the child could die and the mother could bleed to death. But if we just go ahead and somehow they were going to do, I guess, a C-section, if we take the child will live with the mother. In other words, it'd be better if they just got rid of the child. You were a child, the doctor said something to that effect. Yeah, it's going to be so bad, it'd be better that child was not born. Here you sit today. God did something, and he's done something. He's doing something. Praise God. Hallelujah. My daddy went in the bathroom, amen, and he got down on his knees in the bathroom of that hospital, and he said, Lord, if you let this child be born and be okay, and let my wife come through it and be okay, I give this child to you right now. Whatever you want for his life, I dedicate this child to you. Amen. That's why I'm here today. And that's why God called me to preach today. He decided that's what he wanted to do with me. Praise. What an honor to feed his flock. Hallelujah. To be part of bringing the word of God to his people. What an honor, what a privilege it is. Hallelujah. Because I'm no better than you. I've just been called to a position. I have the same trials, the same weaknesses, the same battles. I need to hear and heed what I'm preaching today. Because I go through those valleys. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. It is so important that we get this today. Because when we go out into this world, they need to see that we fully understand, appreciate, and appropriate the Christ, the cross, and the covenant
Amen.
That we now have with God through the blood of Jesus, because it is a covenant that has caused Him to take our sins upon Himself and be punished for them.
Yes,
so that we could take His robe. It's called the robe of righteousness.
Yes.
It is a gift from God.
True.
He took our guilt and shame and gave us His innocence and acceptance. He took our guilt and shame
Yes.
and was punished for it, that He might give us His innocence.
Amen.
Now, if I had on a white suit, pure white today, I wouldn't want to go and visit you if you had a hall in my white suit. Say, Pastor, why haven't you come to visit me? Because I have got a white suit. I've got white shoes, white socks. I even got white underwear. I'm white. I'm pure white. And if I come walking up to your porch, I got to go through where them hogs are wallowing. My white pants are going to get wet and dirty and stinky.
Yeah.
And if I stay in it long enough, it's going to start wicking up, means it's going to come on up. Amen. Listen, the reason He calls us to holiness is because we've been given a robe of righteousness. Amen. God accepts you in the Beloved, according to Ephesians. He highly honors you. How can He do that? How can He do that? Because He put us in His Son. So He accepts us as His Son. And that's why we've been buried with Him. We've been raised with Him. And we've been seated with Him in heavenly places. It's not beside Him. It's with Him.
Yes.
The actual Greek is joint seating. You say, Pastor, talk about an incentive to live right.
Yeah.
You've got this gift that has been granted you. You can't earn it. This is a new covenant. You can't go back. It's oil and water. They won't blend. You're either under the law, and you're going to have to pay the penalty for breaking the law because you cannot keep the law.
Amen.
Or you're under grace. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus has paid your sin debt for you. That doesn't mean you're free to sin. It means you're free from sin in the sense of it reigning in your body any longer. Praise God. Because if you're a true believer today, Satan doesn't rule. And that's why they could make a little effigy of me over in Haiti and stick a bunch of pins in it and think I'm going to, oh, the witch doctors are sticking pins. Oh, there's one right in my back. Oh, Lord, help me. No, they can stick pins in it. They can set it on fire. They can burn it up. Amen. They can do every kind of incantation they want to do. But He that's in me is greater than he that is in the world. And what we showed them in Jamaica when I went with a mission trip to Jamaica was, let them do whatever they want to do, and they did it. I saw people in the audience fall to the ground while we preached the gospel, and it looked like their bones came apart. They were laying on the ground, but they were squirming like a snake, like a serpent. And I said, Lord, look at that. Amen. But I felt a boldness. I didn't feel intimidated. I didn't feel, amen, like the devil now. Look at his power. Now, listen, he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. I was in that world, but I'm not in it. I'm not of it. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm not afraid of voodoo and hoodoo or you do or anybody else.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why? Somebody's going to put a curse on you. They can't put a curse on me. We had a practicing witch She said it. She told people at a McDonald's, I'm putting a spell on Pastor Venable. I thought you might put a smell on me, but you ain't putting no smell on me. You spell on me. Nothing happened. Why didn't it? When I went to preach in Haiti, I got ready to preach, and there came a parade down right in front of where we were holding the outdoor meeting. And the parade was led by some of those practitioners of voodoo priests. And they were carrying like totem poles looking things. Ugly looking things that they carved out of the palm trees. And I asked my interpreter, I said, What's going on? Because everybody froze. They're interrupting the service. They're not coming into where we are. You know why they didn't come into where we are? Because I believe there was a flame of fire around that place in the name of Jesus Christ. They would have if they could have, but they could. Best they could do is walk by, try to intimidate everybody there. Amen. I said, what are they carrying? They said, these are kind of like what you would understand as totem poles, carved out false gods or whatever, demonic looking, and they're carrying them to a voodoo cemetery just down the road, and they are going to raise them up against us preaching the gospel today. I said, really? And it triggered me, and I thought, they are that afraid of the good news of Jesus Christ. That they know better than we know sometimes. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why one evangelist said, through the preaching of the gospel, we're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. Hallelujah. And I thought, I said, Francois Fenelon, he was my interpreter. French Creole was the language. I said, Francois, I said, tell these people that the one that I represent here is greater than the one that they represent.
Amen.
And I preach Christ to them. Hallelujah. And Him crucified, buried, and raised from the dead and on the throne.
Amen.
And the anointing of God came in that place. Wow. Hallelujah. And it was such an I had never preached with an interpreter. Can you imagine an interpreter when I really get going sometimes, a full head of steam on Sunday morning, amen, trying to keep up with me, amen. And Francois was my interpreter, and I first started out, and then the anointing came. God wanted them to see that the God I serve is greater than all the demons, all the devils, all the black magic, all kinds of magic spells, the whole nine yards. Hallelujah. The anointing came on him. But I started out and I was preaching, amen, about the authority of God and the authority of Jesus' name. And I realized at first I would say something and he would echo it. I would say it. He's got a mic, and he would say it in French Creole. And I got going, and I forgot about him. I just got lost in the spirit under the anointing.
Yeah.
And I forgot about Francois.
Yeah.
And I stopped a minute, and I looked over at him. And I was right in the middle of preaching. I think I was standing like this, and he was standing like this, waiting for the next word. And he said, Pastor, keep preaching. I said, am I preaching too fast? He said, oh, no. He said, the same anointing that is on you is upon me right now. And he said, I know what you're going to say before you say it. So I'm right in sync. And I thought, boy, I don't even have to think about running off and leaving my interpreter or pausing. I can just put the pedal to the metal and keep on trucking. Hallelujah for Jesus.
Amen.
So I put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
Amen. And we had church on Sunday morning. And then Sunday night we had the big meeting when they came from all over. And they came from all over. And we saw not only people wiggle like a serpent on the ground, we saw people stand up and get slain in the spirit by the power of God before they could disrupt anything. We didn't have to do anything but present the risen Christ in all of His glory and all of His power. It is time to receive communion. And there's a song I want us to play during it. But just say it with me again today. The Christ, the cross, and the covenant. This is a blood covenant with God. I don't have time to read it, because when I do that, I want to preach it, and we don't have to have a communion service for that. But back in Jeremiah, it is clearly, completely, precisely defined. So they knew the old covenant. They knew the prophecy of Jeremiah. And when he said, "This is the new covenant," they fastened. And believe me, when I read that covenant to you, you're going to find out that there's a whole lot more to this than leaving you under the guilt and shame and influence of fear and the devil. There's a freedom in this gospel, yes, hallelujah, like nothing that the world has ever known, and a whole lot of the church don't even know. Why? Because we see vinegar Christians. We see people laden with burdens they can't give to God. We see people worried literally to death, having the joy of life strangled out of them. I want to be known as a joyous man. A saved man should be a joyous man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Not because I'm a preacher trying to portray something that isn't real, but because there's an authenticity to my joy.
Amen.
He has given me beauty for ashes.
Yes.
He's given me the oil of joy for mourning. Amen. And He's given me the garment of praise. And I put it on for the spirit of heaviness. Speaking to yourself. Oh, by the way, it doesn't stop there. Once you get it on, you're supposed to share it with one another.
Yes.
Speaking to yourself.
Yeah.
David did that. You can do that. You want to hear David when he's down talk to himself?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to tell you anyway. We got just soul.
Yeah.
Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for He will yet be the health of thy countenance.
Amen.
If you look at me right now, before I put my hope in the Lord, my faith in Him, I'm cast down. It's overwhelming. But so, you don't need to be in this condition. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Speak to yourself in Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yes,
God is my refuge and strength.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I will not fear though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. Amen. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head.
Amen.
Why are you not singing it? Because it would hurt your ears. So I'm just saying it, but we're, you know what the Psalms are? Songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're songs to the chief musician. They're to be sung. Make melody in your heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
With spiritual songs. Speaking to yourself and then speaking to one another. To one another. I hope you get my drift today. I hope some of my joy makes you want to stir up your joy and to get more than just some religion that you keep diligently. Thank God for that. I commend you. But the world needs to see more than someone keeping the right religion religiously. They need to see you in a relationship with God that is satisfying, sanctifying, amen, and showing a hope that nothing in the world can give. That will draw them to want to know more about Jesus Christ.
Yes,
hallelujah. I have looked at And it's not y'all today. You smiled more than usual.
Praise God.
But I've looked at the saddest faces on Sunday morning.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
That I have seen. Sad, dejected, rejected, cast down, worried, sick, fear-laden. And I want so bad for somebody to get a hold of what God wants to do in a life that will give him permission and trust him for it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Stir up, Timothy. Stir up the gift that is in you.
Yeah.
How did it get in him? This call to preach that's no longer fulfilling because of discouragement, by the laying on of hands of the presbytery.
Amen.
He was set forth. Whatever he was appointed to do, he was anointed to do.
Amen.
And whatever gifts would help enhance what he was called to do were granted when they laid hands on him, set him apart for the ministry.
Amen.
But he was sitting there in discouragement. So he told him, God did not give you the spirit of fear,
Amen.
But love, power, and a disciplined mind.
Amen.
Stir up. How do you do that? Thank you for asking. You refocus your mind on the good things of God.
Amen. Yes.
And the wondrous grace and glory of being saved because of the sacrifice of Christ.
Yes.
So here's how you run the race. This is a bunch of messages, but let's bring it to a close here for this morning.
Yes.
Lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset you.
Yes.
And run with persistence, resolve, and perseverance. That's what patience means in context.
Yes.
The race that is set before you.
Mm-hmm.
Looking unto Jesus, who is what? The author and the finisher of your faith.
Amen.
Consider him. Direct your mind, your thoughts. Communion is about to occur. Consider him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself. That's to get your focus off of you.
Yeah.
It's to get my focus off of me.
Yeah.
My hurt, my pain, my problem, what they did to me. Life has not been good to me. God has failed me. Why don't he do it for me? It's all about me, and that's why I'm so discouraged and cast down. And you know people that it's all about them.
Amen.
And it may be all about you here today, but we're about to do something that is to put our focus on Jesus on the cross dying for us.
Amen.
And you can't be thinking about you.
Amen.
If you're focused on him and his sacrifice for you.
It
changes the focus and the energy you need to run this race with perseverance is because you know that Jesus died for me, and whatever I'm going through, I need to put that aside and focus on him and his great love for me.
Amen.
That I might run this race with perseverance instead of being distracted so easily by myself. Amen.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus. How? Consider him. Lest you be weary. There it is. That's what we experience as Christians. Weary and faint in your own mind.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Those thoughts that gravitate to my hurt, my pain, my problem. That's what's defeating you. Devil doesn't have to do much. He's already got your mind focused on the wrong thing. It's easy to seed fear into you, to strangle out your joy, strangle out your faith and hope for the future for any good and leave you high and dry with a bumper sticker that says, Christ is the answer. And a vinegar Christian in the front seat saying, I'm not serious about that. Because it's not true in me. No, just because it's not true in you doesn't mean it's not true at all.
Amen.
If He gives you beauty for ashes, He's the answer for that broken, irreparable life that He can repair.
Amen.
The oil of joy for mourning, He can give that. Hallelujah. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Always making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to yourself and speaking to one another. Being in you, God will make you an encourager.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this morning. As we receive communion, how many want to focus on something other than what you've been focused on all week or even this morning?
Amen.
How many got trouble and problems that you face?
Amen.
Okay. If you want an answer, you're going to have to quit thinking about them. Right here, right now. If you want an answer. Now, if you want to stay under that burden, you will leave under it. But my Bible says, cast your burden on the Lord. And He will sustain you. But He can't do that without your trust. You've got to trust Him with it. But if you do, you can roll it over on Him. And come out from under that. And not only find fulfillment and joy in your life, but you can be a blessing to someone that's under that same burden. And it may be a Christian brother and sister. Because there's a whole lot of burdened Christians that haven't given it to the Lord. There's a whole lot of over-anxious, anxiety-filled Christians. You read the news, and if you get on YouTube or the internet, Lord, help us. Nothing but fear. Everywhere you turn. I want to pray for this thing that you asked me before we receive communion, because we all got to get out of here pretty quick and I don't want to miss it. Whatever is coming up right now that seems so big, so threatening, so overcoming, I pray that Jesus will take a hold of this thing and all the people involved in this thing, and that God will win a victory this day because we have looked to Him for it. We're going to do whatever we can do to solve every problem we have, but we know how limited we are. So, Lord, we look past ourselves and we declare it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by the Spirit of the Lord that mountains are moved. And, Father, we thank You that mountains are moved and will be moved as we put our trust in You in the name of Jesus Christ and give ourselves to You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have to go, you may. You know your time. Hallelujah. But I wanted to pray because you asked for prayer and it's important. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, if you will bring this song as we serve communion today.